Hot Business on Hot 1027.
And finally, as we approach 7 o'clock on this Tuesday evening, markets and company news, I'm in conversation with Sithembile Bophela from FNB Wealth and Investments. And let's start with those very dismal unemployment numbers. The official rate rising to 32.9% in Q1. That's up from 31.9% last year. It's worrying, but predictably as well, the rand has weakened in the afternoon.
Hi, Jeremy. Yeah, definitely. I mean, the numbers weren't a huge surprise. I think in the context of, you know, the challenges, especially around, you know, structural reform that we know of and are aware of, you know, around economic stability as well. We did see, you know, that the most jobs that were shed were in the trade and construction sectors. And again, you know, unsurprising there with, you know, the slow growth and the sort of lower investments into construction projects, infrastructural challenges, and the impact on business confidence that we've seen play out across, you know, the economy. And so it's almost a chicken and egg scenario where, you know, on the one end, you need economic growth to bolster labor markets, but you also need strong labor markets in order to expand growth. And so I think it is definitely, you know, sitting in this sort of structural mismatch between available skills and employers' needs or even employers' capacity in a slowing economy.
Let's look at the JSE in late afternoon trade, and mostly flat, although there has been a little bit of a turnaround in resource stocks, which have been under pressure over the past few days.
I think definitely, you know, especially from, you know, the previous session, the sharp drop that we saw across resources led largely by a gold price, by gold miners, and specifically the gold price. And I think that, you know, it really speaks to the rebound in risk sentiments, risk appetite, that, you know, headlines of the trade deal, or at least an interim trade deal, we must emphasize, between the US and China that flooded the markets. You know, of course, I think we've seen, you know, gold reach record highs as tensions sort of escalated for most of the year. So I think very much a reallocation of funds back towards risk assets at this point.
And just looking at the bullion price, up about 0.5% to today, $3,253 an ounce. And again, as you rightly said, it's all a risk play, isn't it?
I think definitely. I think, you know, the de-escalation in the US, China, you know, sort of tensions, it was a lot more pronounced and perhaps even earlier than what the market had anticipated. And I think, of course, you know, until the 8th of July, which is when the 90-day pause that Trump has set out expires, or until some sort of finalized deal is reached before then, I think there's still going to be a lot of uncertainty in the markets, hence why we're seeing bullion back up in early trade, because I think, yeah, investors just want to see sort of ink on paper. Trump's sort of fluidity of policy announcements, you know, have almost traumatized, you know, investors. Mm-hmm. So you want to see, you know, the president shake hands and say they've reached a deal before we see, you know, very bullish sentiments come back into markets.
Let's look at a couple of items of company news, and let's start with Tiger Brands. And I think the market is not entirely convinced about its listeriosis settlement. The share is under pressure today, and I'm just pulling it up on my screen right now. It's down by, where do I have it? It's down by about 1.6% today.
And I mean, I think not convinced by earnings either. You know, they released a voluntary update where they shared, you know, I think a strong rebound in operational performance. So, you know, one-offs aside, you know, they did carry out a number of corporate actions that helped results during the period. But I think overall, their turnaround strategy is very much, you know, evident in the numbers, in terms of optimizing the portfolio and resolving the legal issues, specifically the listeriosis case. And so, you know, they've projected earnings growth that are quite strong on good business recovery and positive momentum, you know, from the full year mark. But I think perhaps traders are definitely holding out to see whether the company, on one hand, whether they sustain volume growth across the business units, but also on the other hand, whether they sort of successfully navigate the litigation to its full resolution.
Most of our listeners won't be too familiar with the company Altron, but they will know Netstar. And there was a trading update out today saying its earnings could rise by as much as 75%. And the share is up by just under 0.5% today.
And I think it's very much in the context of the broader economic instability that we've been speaking about. These are very solid numbers that they've guided for, and even at the lower end of guidance, it was quite positive. And compared to the previous range, they did guide for at least 40% growth. So at now they're guiding for between 65 and 75. So very strong sort of upward revision to the to initial expectations, and I think very much driven by they've managed to generate robust top line growth across the business segments, and as you mentioned specifically Netstar, the SA business, but also the fintech segments, and I think also they've made corrective actions that have helped turn around some of the previously underperforming units as well.
Now, an interesting barometer of South Africa's economy would be the furniture business. And let's focus specifically on Lewis. It's got something in the region of 870 stores. It's in the metropolitan areas and also in rural areas. It's put a trading update out saying that it expects its full year earnings to soar by as much as 65%. And this is the bit that I find interesting. It says it's benefiting from higher credit sales. And I guess that observation is a good indicator of the state of South Africa's economy at the moment, and particularly a reliance on more credit, which in many respects is a dangerous thing.
Very much true. I think their results definitely speak to the health of the local consumer markets. As you mentioned, they do play in that mid to low income market segments, and so, but also they have quite a substantial credit book. So, you're looking at households who are very sensitive to the economic cycle. And so, yeah, definitely their results, they highlight what we've seen, but also in the economics as well, in the economic numbers as well. Local discretionary spending has picked up well over the past few quarters. Some of that supported by the two-pot withdrawals, but also from earlier rate cuts, and that we are seeing evidence in Lewis's sort of sustained credit sales, as you mentioned, the growth there. And as much as that is, I think, a risk, it is also speaking to, the reality of consumers still being under strain, still being cash strapped, and therefore relying heavily on the credit side of, income. But I think what was encouraging from Lewis's numbers was that they've seen an improvement in the quality of the debtors' portfolio. And so I think that also speaks to, the reality of lower inflation, lower interest rates. So easier economic conditions for households are being able. So then households are being able to sort of meet their debt obligations, pay back the debts, and, sort of maintain sort of healthier debt profiles. I don't think we're out of the woods yet, but I think it just does goes to show how quickly policy changes play out in the real economy, specifically among, cash-strapped consumers.
And that's where I'm going to leave it for tonight. Sitembile Bopela, thank you indeed, FNB Wealth and Investments, and we'll talk again soon.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7.